Bible, turn with us over to the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 16. We'll read one verse tonight. Let's stand in honor to read the Word of God found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse number 18. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together that you have allotted to us. And God, that you've allowed us to gather tonight to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for a place that we can come this evening. Thank you, Lord, how good you've been to us. Thank you, Lord, for leaving the Word of God to us, that we have a word from heaven tonight. Help us now as I try to be a blessing in a few minutes tonight. Pray that you'd teach us and, God, you'd convict us. Lord, you'd encourage our hearts. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The other Sunday night on this early church, I had preached a message on the first mention of the early church and their gathering. They're gathering. He said, Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but the more as you see the day approaching. I think we all must realize that we live in a new day, a new era, but I'm glad the Word of God is still right tonight. I'm glad there's still people that love Jesus, and I'm glad the cross is still delivering sinners saved by the grace of God. But as this early church, we found them gathering, we talked about the importance of their gathering, the impact of their gathering, how important it is to gather upon the first day of the week. But tonight, I want us to find now and go to the book of Acts, chapter number 1, and I want us to look at the second thing that this early church, we find them doing. The early church is our pattern. It's written for our admonition and for our learning to be taught. And so here in this early church, we find them in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 4. Here's our mention again of last week in the gathering. The Bible said they were being assembled together with them. They commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now you think about the things that the early church didn't have that we have tonight. We have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter number 2, the day of Pentecost, when God sent the Spirit to baptize the believers in the bodies of Christ. And therefore, wouldn't it be a lot more difficult tonight to serve God without the Spirit of God? But He said there's a promise coming to you. Then He says in verse number 6, When they therefore were come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. God is in charge of times and seasons. Verse 8, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both into Jerusalem, in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so there we see Christ given the great commission. We have a mission-minded God tonight. as Brother Michael and Sister Terry sang, I'm glad He came to us. So we have a mission-minded God. So the Bible said in verse number 9, when He had spoken these things, that's what I want to preach out of tonight. I want you to watch your Bibles. While they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. He's talking to them now. He'd spoken these things, and they were looking at Him, and He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. The early church, we find them first gathering, but secondly now, we find them gazing. Gazing. It means looking and sort of turning your head trying to figure out. Reminds me of most of us Baptists tonight, just sort of gazing and looking up into the heavens. But here, I want to say instead of gazing, there's four things that I want to preach about tonight that we need to be doing instead of gazing. First of all, we need to be convinced Jesus is coming. Now, you'll notice this in verse number 8 of our text. You'll see His report. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Thank the Lord for the Spirit of God. We could not have a service without the Spirit of God. It would just be a get-together. And folks, I cannot preach on this bandbox long enough nor loud enough. We've got to have the Spirit of God in our services when we meet. We've got to have Him in our life when we go out of this church house to be a light and salt in a dark and a wicked world. Now, we need to be convinced about His report. Then we need to be convinced about His rising in verse 9. The Bible said He was taken up and a cloud received Him out of their sight. But now in verse 10, we need to be convinced about His reply. Now, here's two angels appear, no doubt. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. I'm glad God's always got a word for us when we don't know what to do. Now, can you imagine, here's Christ. They put Him on the cross. He got out of the grave the third day. He's walking around. He's giving them instructions. And as He's talking, He starts rising up into the cloud. Can you imagine they're gazing? You know, the church tonight is really no longer gazing. They're just sort of staring off over yonder. But we should not be caught up in our gazing. We should be convinced that Jesus said that He would return. And guess what, church? Jesus keeps His word. He's soon to come. Now, there's the report. There is the rising. There's the reply. But in verse number 11, look what it says. It said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. Well, where is Jesus tonight? Oh, He's on the right-hand side of the Father. Matter of fact, you'll always see Him sitting until you found Him in Acts 7 at the stoning of Stephen where Christ stood on the right hand of God. There's some things Jesus don't take sitting down tonight. But certainly, we need to be convinced of His return. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 9. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 9. We need to be convinced of His returning. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. That's pretty basic, isn't it? To love one another. Sometimes you've just got to to agree to disagree and just keep on loving one another. It's that way in our jobs. It's that way in our work. It's that way at our homes and our church. Every place we go, we are taught to love one another. Now, watch your Bibles. He simply says, verse 11, that you study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them, watch, that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that have died in the Lord, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. That's not soul sleep. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If we know Christ, and when we die, our soul and spirit goes to Christ. And when He returns, we're coming back with Him, and we're going to get a new glorified body. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming Lord shall not prevent or shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend, here it is, from heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They getting up out of the graveyard first, that know Christ. Then we, which are alive spiritually and remain, are alive physically. Do you understand that tonight? Verse 17, then we which are alive spiritually and remain physically shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Instead of gazing, we need to be convinced tonight that Jesus is doing exactly what He said He would do. He's had heaven on His mind since He left it. And when He got out of the third day of the grave, He walked around to many witnesses and He proclaimed that truth, and then He ascended. You remember when He came to Mary at the tomb and He said, "Weep not." Then she reached out to touch Him and He said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." Well, Jesus no doubt went and ascended. But Jesus, that's a total different series. Jesus, I believe, sprinkled the mercy seat with His blood. But He's come back. Now He's walking around with many witnesses, and all of a sudden He's taken out through the clouds. Could you imagine seeing that day? Can I tell you, we're going to get a glimpse of the return one day on the cloud. And so we need to be convinced, and not just gazing, but we need to be convinced. Jesus is going to do what He said He'd do. He's returning. And if we know Christ when we die, He's going to get us up out of the graveyard. And we're going home forever to be with the Lord. Won't it be a blessing? No more heartache, no more troubles, no more pain. No more tears or sadness. What a day when we get to go to heaven. And so we need to be convinced. But then secondly, look at Acts 1 and 7, back over there in that text. We need to be compelled. Acts 1 and 7. And He said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons." There are times and seasons in our life. There are times and seasons in the church. There are times and seasons in our climate. And God said, which the Father hath put in His own power. Nobody's telling God what to do. He does what pleases Him. A lot of the weathermen try to predict Him, but they get Him wrong a whole lot of times. But ye shall receive power. And this is where we ought to be compelled. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. We need to be compelled. We need to realize that we have a power that this world knows nothing about. What are we doing with this power? Why has God indwelt you with the Spirit besides to save you? He's given us all a ministry. As Brother Leah told me tonight, we are to bear one another's burdens. I preached this morning on losing the burdens at the Father's house. But we have a power from up on high that lives in us tonight. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You can get through your struggles. You can get through your circumstances. You can get through your valleys. It's no reason for people that are saved to take their life tonight. You can get through your troubles because I know the way maker tonight. We ought to be convinced. We ought to be compelled. Then Acts chapter number 3, we ought to be concerned. Let's look what this early church is doing. No longer now do we find them gazing, but we find them working and witnessing and doing things that the Lord had instructed them to do. We find them in Acts 3. Instead of gazing, we need to be convinced. We need to be compelled. But thirdly, we need to be concerned. We're missing that a lot in our country, aren't we? And you know, I believe that a preacher needs to keep things real and remind people who we are, where we are, and why we are. But Jesus has just not saved us and put our name down yonder in glory. Jesus has saved us for a purpose. And watch this, we ought to be concerned. Now, this is one of the greatest passages in the Bible in Acts 3. Peter and John went up together. In the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, or simply 3 p.m. in the evening. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And I want to say something. God's house ought to be the prettiest place in town. I commend our church for having a grounds and a facility where we can honor and magnify our God and give Him all the honor and the glory for it. If anybody deserves the prettiest place in town, it is Christ our King. They laid Him at the Beautiful Gate to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, and here's my thought, and said, "Look on us." There's a concern. They realized this man had a need, but they knew how to get his need met. Peter fastened his eyes on him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said this familiar phrase, and it's a great statement. "Silver and gold have I none." Let me tell you, just because you serve God don't mean you're going to be rich tonight. "Silver and gold have I none." But look what he says. "But such as I have, give I thee." I thank God I got something tonight this world knows nothing about. I'm glad I'm riches that lives in me from heaven tonight and not from the bank. "Which I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And look here, y'all, in verse number 8. He'd scare some of y'all slammed to death. "And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them in the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God." He was excited about being saved. Don't let the excitement leave you about being saved. Fourthly and lastly tonight, the early church, we found them gathering, but now tonight we find them gazing. And this is my last thought I want to share with you. I want you to be sure you take this thought home. Not only, instead of gazing, do we need to be convinced. Not only do we need to be compelled and concerned, but in Acts 4, verse 1, I think we need to be convicted. Look in Acts 4 and verse number 1. It's a great little thought right here I want to get to tonight, and then I'm done. The Bible said, as they spake, and the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Now, you remember now, they were preaching and teaching in Judaism. They did not believe in the Christ that we believe in. They did not believe that He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They were practicing the old law and religion. Now, these apostles is preaching something they'd never heard, Jesus. The Bible says, verse 2, being grieved that they taught the people and watch and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Them old mean legalist Pharisees didn't like that kind of preaching. Religious people don't like Jesus preaching tonight. It's all about them instead of Him. And they laid hands on them, watch this, and put them in hold until the next day, for it's now even time. They locked them up. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. I want to stop right there. If they were to arrest you, could they convict you for being a Christian? If they were to arrest you, could they keep the charges held because you were a Christian? They locked them up. Now watch, verse 5. Came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and the elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole? We want to know, how did he get better? Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Verse 12. Underline it in your Bible. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not an option. We must be saved to go to heaven. And it's only one way to be saved. That is by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing what's being taught in our culture and our school system? So many views of how to get to heaven. This Bible says there's one way. That is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's our thought. Verse 13. I'm done. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, we need boldness back, folks. Stand up and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We need Holy Ghost boldness back in our pulpits and in our classrooms. They had boldness. You know something? Jesus was a meek man. He wasn't a weak man. Boldness to face the opposition. And we better learn as a church, we're always going to have opposition. I'm going to have oppositions in my life. And I found out running from my troubles don't fix them. I must face my opposition with the power and the love of Christ. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived, watch this, that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You see, they went. Listen. They went from a gaze to a blaze. And that's what we need to do tonight as a church and as a Christian. Go from a gaze to a blaze. Have boldness. Be filled with the power of God. Love sinners. Love the saints. Worship Jesus. Be excited about our salvation. God has been good to us. And I love Him and I praise Him tonight. That early church, we found them gathering. Now we found them gazing, but not long. Now they're blazing. May God help us that a fire would burn in our hearts in this day, in this hour. Amen. Well, I appreciate the good